I invite you now to take hold of your copy of the Bible and turn with me to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 2, and a single verse for our reading today, verse 20, as I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject of the crucified Christ. Colossians 2, verse 20. Today, on this week of Palm Sunday, Christians all over the world are remembering the events that led up to the crucifixion of Christ on Good Friday of this week. But little thought is given to the fact that we, as Christ's followers, are crucified with Him. And that's the point of verse 20, as Paul lays the groundwork for this thought there. And so you have your Bible open to Colossians 2:20. I want you to read silently as I read aloud from that single verse. It says, "Therefore, if you died with Christ," that word "with" is very important. "From the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations?" Three clear and distinct points that I see there. First of all, we see your death. "Therefore, if you have died with Christ." You know, there is another chapter 2, verse 20, that speaks of our death with Christ. And it's a much more famous verse. It's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. And it's written up there on the screen for you. And I have highlighted all the personal pronouns in this verse, the words "I" and "me." And you'll notice that absolutely every line of this single verse has the word "I" or "me" in it. And so I'd like for us to read this together. Ready? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, how many personal pronouns are in that single verse? Seven. Seven "I" and "me's." You know what that tells me about my crucifixion with Christ? It is personal. Salvation is personal. And it's between you and Christ alone. A lot of people are banking on the fact that they'll be able to ride grandmother or granddad or mom and dad's coattails into heaven just because they were wonderful Christians, or just because they come to church and are associated with other fine believers, that just because of their association with a church makes them qualified to go to heaven one day. But this verse makes it so plain that you must receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And that was made clear by what Jesus had to say over in John chapter 10 and verse 29, when he was speaking to his disciples using the imagery of him being the great shepherd and his followers being the flock. And he said in John 10:27, I should have said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." To be in Jesus' fold, to be in his flock, you will personally know him, and he will personally know you. Which leads me to ask, have you personally received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He knows all about you. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. He knows every trial and difficulty and heartache and heartbreak that you walked into this building with. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He knows you. Do you know Him? Have you been crucified with Christ? Now, when you are crucified with Christ, you are united with Him in His death. I said at the outset that this word "with" is very important when it says you're crucified with Christ, because it speaks of us being united with Christ in death. And there's another passage of Scripture that keys in on this word "with" in speaking of our uniting with Christ through death. And it's in Romans chapter 6 in verse 4. And I'd like for you, as I read this, to count how many times you hear that word "with." It says, beginning in verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with Him." In other words, I died with Him. I am united with Him in death. Goes on, says, "Through baptism into death, that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 5. "For if we have been united together with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Verse 8 of Romans 6. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Over and over again, that word "with" is used, speaking of our being united with Christ in His death on the cross. Have you been crucified with Christ? I'll tell you what that means. It means that when you got saved, all of your vanity went to the cross and was nailed there with Jesus. As the song says, "All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to the Lord." That's what happened at the cross. Not only your vanity was nailed at the cross, but your selfish desires were nailed at the cross. Your plans, the plans that you thought of apart from God, apart from seeking His direction in your life, they were nailed to the cross of Calvary. I wonder, have you died with Jesus? Are you united with Him in death? Could you say with Paul, "I have been crucified with Christ"? But as I look at this Colossians 2:20, I see a second point that Paul is making here, and it's not only about your death as a believer, but it's about your deliverance. Just reading all of verse 20 again, it says, "Therefore, if you have died with Christ from," or your Bible might say, "to the basic principles of the world." The basic principles of the world are what have enslaved us. And Jesus is now saying through the Apostle Paul that if you die with me, you have freedom from those things. You have been delivered from that kind of bondage. And a lot of people will say, "Well, what does that specifically mean, that I have died to, or I have been, I've died from these basic principles of the world?" Well, we've been talking about them the last 2 weeks. Legalism and spiritual snobbery. Week before last, we talked about legalism. And you might remember in verses 16 and 17, So many false teachers in the Colossian church were trying to say it's Jesus plus something else that gets you saved. It's Jesus plus observing the Old Testament laws and rituals, about the dietary regulations, about the observance of Sabbath, about the observance of feasts, about new moons, all these things that were taught in the Old Testament. You had to practice these plus have Jesus in your life to be saved. And Paul is saying that's false teaching. That's allowed in the pit of hell. And so do not be bound to legalism. But not just that. We studied last week the following verses in verses 18 through 19, where he said, don't be bound and cheated by spiritual snobbery. People saying it's Jesus plus this act of mysticism that you must follow in order to be saved. And many people are thinking that they have to follow the expectations and unwritten rules of other people in order to be qualified to earn the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul does something interesting here. He makes a sandwich. In those verses that precede verse 20, the verses that talk about the bondage of legalism and mysticism and spiritual snobbery, he just sums it all up again on the other side of verse 20 and just states them in summary. For instance, look at verse 21. He talks about the legalism that is a part of this world when he says, some people say, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. In other words, don't be bound to these elementary principles of the world of legalism. But then he moves to what we talked about last week, verse 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul just makes a nice sandwich here. He puts all those things that trip people up and make them drag a ball and chain on either side of this truth in verse 20. And that is, you're not bound anymore because you have died with Christ. That's what the Bible says in Galatians 2:19. It says, for I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I love Galatians 4, verses 3 through 4. It says, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us who were under the law. Isn't that something? Jesus was born according to all the requirements of the law. He lived his life perfectly in accordance and obedience to the law. Why? To redeem those of us who were under the law. Jesus subjected himself to the law so that he could free us from the law. Have you been delivered from the expectations of man? Are you still trying to please people? Are you still trying to follow their code of what you ought to be doing to be a real Christian? All of that is just bondage that Jesus died on the cross to free you from. But as we unpack this single verse, we see not only your death with Christ and your deliverance, but we also notice your dictates. Reading again all of verse 20, it says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject, or your Bible might say, submit yourselves to regulations, these regulations of legalism and people's expectations? Why do you submit to those things? Why do you subject yourselves to those things? Why do you let them dictate your life? There are so many people living under that kind of spiritual slavery. And we need to understand that because Christ has freed us through our death with Him on the cross, that we have new direction in our life. We don't have to follow the old dictates. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't let anything or anyone but Christ dictate your direction in life. Some of us need new direction because we've been following old dictates. And you can begin, you can start brand new today if you'll just put your faith in Christ and in Christ alone. Could it be that you're here today trying to follow a bunch of rules to be good enough to earn your way into heaven, and you see through the truth of the scripture today that Jesus has already done everything for you? You don't have to do anything but accept His free offer of grace. That's why we come to this time in the worship service where we give people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you've never undertaken a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, if you've never died with Him on the cross, all your hopes, all your dreams, all your vanity, all your desires, if you've never done that, then He invites you today to His cross, where and only where you will find true freedom and true deliverance. So let us pray together. Father, we ask today that You would be with those of us who still found ourselves in bondage. Bondage to men's expectations, to regulations that You have put an end to. Father, help us to see that it's all by Your grace. Father, help us, those of us who have never trusted You, to receive You. Father, we ask today for those who have already been crucified with Christ to live according to the dictates of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for slipping back into those old dictates, and help us to walk in the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. Father, we know there are those in our company today that are seeking direction in their lives. We pray that they might not look for it from anyone else or anything else but You. Father, for some of them it might be about a church home. Father, we just pray that You would lead and guide. For those who are praying about whether to become a member here at First Baptist, Father, we pray for those that are also deeply in need of prayer today. They need Your encouragement. We pray that this time will be used as a time of freeing and deliverance. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.